Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Tiny Tommy McDonald was the last man on the playing field to know when it began to rain, but size meant nothing to Tommy. Team colors and jersey numbers changed, but Tommy never did. He compensated for his short stature with a hearty appetite for gobbling up any pass thrown his way.
Any ball that came near me, I wanted to be like a vacuum cleaner. I mean, it was mine. You know, I turn me on.
They don't write them like that anymore, do they? Oh, God, I love that old stuff. Anyway, we brought that in today because this is our Scheib sports this week, this moment in Philadelphia sports history. And it was on this day, I forget the year, that Tommy McDonald was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and a man who had a whole lot to do with that. Ray Dinger, my old partner, joins us now. Ray, how are you, pal?
Hello, guys. How are you? Glenn, Mike, how's it going?
Going well so far, Ray. Great to hear from you.
Good.
He's two hours in, and he hasn't quit yet, so we're all right.
I know. I've been listening, doing very well. I'm enjoying it. The year was 1998.
Okay, there you go. And as I said, today's the anniversary. You were there. You introduced Tommy. It's an amazing story about how, you know, he helped you as a kid. You helped him as an adult. And it became a play. And the play is coming this month, or I guess next month. We're still in July. In August, to the Hershey Theater. 3 days, August 18th through 20th. You got some good people helping you. Ross Tucker is going to be your guest host one night.
Yep, opening night. Opening night, Ross Tucker is going to be there to host the post-show Q&A. I'm really excited about that. He seems like he's bringing most of his family.
Sold out audience.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. But this, you know, you and I have talked about this a lot. I mean, this is ever since we launched Tommy and Me way back in 2016. We've played in a lot of different theaters all over the area. But the one place I've always really, really wanted to go is I wanted to bring the play to Hershey, because that's where it all started. You know, the first time, you know, I met Tommy McDonald. You know, I was a little 10-year-old kid with an autograph book standing outside the locker room door in Hershey, Pennsylvania, which was where the Eagles had their training camp in the 50s. And that was where I met him for the first time, got his autograph for the first time. He handed me his helmet for the first time and said, "Come on, little brother, let's walk to the practice field." That was where it all started. It all started at Hershey. And, you know, I know they had this beautiful theater back in Hershey, and I just always thought, boy, wouldn't it be so cool if we could kind of bring this story back to its point of origin, you know, and we're finally going to get a chance to do that August 18th, 19th, and 20th, and I'm really looking forward to it.
By the way, let me just tell people, tickets for that can be ordered at HersheyTheater.com.
Ray, yep. When did you know that this was a story that you had to write, and how did you know that writing a play was the best way to tell it?
I really felt it. I guess the weekend in Canton. I guess this weekend in Canton, August 1st, 1998. When I was there and I was in the middle of it, and you know, riding in the parade with him in the open convertible through the streets of Canton. You're riding in an open convertible with your boyhood hero, and there's a quarter of a million people lining the streets cheering, and you're on your way to the Hall of Fame, and you're going to give the speech to present your boyhood hero for induction. I said, "Wow. This is really a good story," and I just really kind of wanted. It took me a while to figure out exactly what I wanted to do with it. But I knew I wanted to tell it. Because the idea of the whole sort of full circle experience, starting from the time that I was a little kid and he was my boyhood hero, to this conclusion where, you know, we're going to be standing together on the steps of the Hall of Fame, it's just a great story. And it was just a question of what was the best way to tell it. And I really decided, let me just give it a try as a play, because I just think it might work. And you know, I wrote it and brought it to Joe Canuso at Theater Exile, and 2016 we put it on stage, and here we are all these years later, and we're still doing it. It's really been a great, great journey.
Well, I said this to you many times before. You created something that is now a permanent part of the arts landscape in this area, and I mean, I know how many people who have seen it. People have seen it two or three times. As you say, now you're going out to the Hershey Theater, where people who maybe haven't had the opportunity to see it before will. And the best thing, I don't know about the best, but one of the things I can say about your play that I think is really important is my wife doesn't give a damn about football. And my wife was unaware of who Tommy McDonald was. And she loves this play, and she's seen it four times, and will go to see it a fifth. So it's a story for sports fans, but it's really a story about a relationship between two people that goes on for decades, and it's also a story about a kid becoming a man and how what you expect yourself to be as a kid and what you become. And I think that's really the beauty of it.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It really is that. That's. I think you summed it up very well. And it really is an idea of a relationship changing over time. I mean, when I was a little boy, I mean, he gave me so much in terms of his friendship, his time, you know, taking me for rides around Hershey and his cherry red convertible, and making me feel, when he would call me little brother, I mean, it felt real to me. I mean, it really felt like we had that kind of relationship. So, I mean, he had a lot to do with me, my life. I mean, I really think that getting close to him and kind of getting that peek inside the world of pro football kind of gave me the courage to pursue the career that I pursued. So he did a lot for me back in those days. And then it just worked out in such a way that when I became a sports writer, I'm in a position to kind of give something back to him and kind of mount this campaign to try and get him into where he belonged. We should have been all along, which was the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1998. It finally all came together. And it's really great. I mean, it's, you know, Tommy passed away a few years ago, but you know, I was talking to his daughter Patricia a couple months ago, just when I told her to tell her that we were coming to Hershey, and she said, you know, that I'm going to come up there, I want to see this play again because I've seen it every year. And she said, you know what you've done for our family, you've kept Dad alive for us. And I hadn't really thought about that, but what a beautiful sentiment. And the fact that we've been able to do this and keep Tommy's memory alive has really been a great thing.
So, Ray, I have to ask you, Eagles training camp has begun. What are your plans for week one, Sunday, September 10th, Eagles at Lions?
I'm going to be sitting on the couch, you know, watching the game on TV. Everybody asks the question. I've been asked it so many times. You know, are you really going to have the yellow legal pad out? Are you really going to be logging the game? And of course I am. Of course I am. I'm going to have the yellow legal tablet out, and I'm going to be charting every play, and I'm going to be writing down every coverage, and I'm going to be writing down every personnel package, and I'm going to be logging all the third down efficiencies and all of that stuff, red zone. Because at this point, after all these years, I don't know any other way to watch a game. I really don't know any other way to watch a football game other than doing that. So, yeah, on September the 11th, when the Eagles play the Lions, I'll be doing everything I've done of all these years. The only thing is I'll be doing it on the couch, probably with the bulldog in my lap.
Okay. One of the things that our listeners want to know is your opinion as an old head on the very, very brisk Eagles practices, which last about 58 minutes and involve no hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts?
Well, that's the nature of today's NFL. You know, I understand it. A lot of it is mandated by the collective bargaining agreement. It really is kind of out of the coach's hand to a large degree. You know, how many times you can practice, how long you can practice, how much you can hit. I mean, the coaches can put their own personal touch on it, I suppose. But the rules are pretty – the rules are the rules, and you kind of have to observe them. And it's all geared towards player safety, and I'm in favor of that. And if Nick Sirianni is going to be real careful about the about how physical his camp is and how much hitting there's going to be, you know, that was kind of the way they were last year. I mean, I saw it. I was out there last year, and I saw it. And, you know, I wondered – like a lot of people, I wondered if it was tough enough. But I kind of got his message that we're going to try and keep our team healthy. And if you look at it, for the most part, they were. I mean, they were one of the healthier teams for a team that got racked by injuries for years, was losing guys right and left. You know, last year was one of their better years. So I know this sort of rubs some people the wrong way, that there doesn't seem to be much contact here. But I think it worked for them last year. The one thing I would say about it is if he wants to sort of minimize the hitting, I kind of understand that. But you need the reps. If you're just going, you know, guys need to be on the field. Guys need to be on the field. Your quarterback sure needs to be on the field. And you can practice without hitting, but you need reps, 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 and more reps, because you have a young quarterback. You have a new receiver who's new to this offense. Devontae Smith, as good as he is only in his second year. Those guys can only benefit by as many reps as you can give them. So you don't have to have them out there hitting every day. But you need the reps to be ready to play, because the schedule lays out in such a way that their first four games are very winnable. And this team has been hampered now in recent years by getting off to slow starts and having to come from behind. And they've been able to do it, including last year. They fought their way into the playoffs. But, boy, it would be sweet to start this year 4-0. So you better be ready. We're talking about that game in Detroit. You better be ready to play that day. And, I think that, you can cut back on the hitting a little bit, because that's the nature of today's NFL. But, boy, you got to get the reps in, because you got to get this passing game where you need it to be.
Well, that segues to my next question for you here, Ray. Let's pretend for a moment that you're the offensive coordinator or head coach, or certainly the play caller of the Eagles. You saw what they did in the second half of last season running the football. You know all the questions about Jalen Hurts. You know that they have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. What's the best way for them to run this offense? And what way do you think they need to run this offense to be kind of, for lack of a better way of putting it, kind of satisfied with themselves and the way things are supposed to go?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Mike. I just think this offense, pretty much like every other offense, is better when it's balanced. You know, when you can do – I've always thought it's just a very simple formula. Andy and I used to talk about this all the time when I used to tell him he needed to run the ball more.
And he told me, I'm sure he welcomed that, yeah.
Yeah, and Andy always heard and told me to mind your own business. But my philosophy was, and I said it so many times, that Andy, you're a much better team if you can do two things instead of just one. I mean, it's hard to argue against that. I mean, if you can run it and throw it, you're a better team than if you're just doing one thing. And that not just applies to that team, but it applies across the board. And I think that with this team, too. I mean, they certainly demonstrated last year they can run it. And they have the offensive line back, and they have backs, and they certainly have a quarterback that's efficient RPOing it. So they can run the ball. There's no question about that. They can run it on pretty much anybody. But to really ramp this offense up, they need to have a more balanced attack, and they need to be able to throw it. And people keep talking to me about, you know, I don't know if Jalen Hurts has a strong enough arm. It's not about arm strength. You know, it's not just purely about arm strength. It's really about being efficient in your passing game. It's being able to throw the ball accurately and throw it on time. I mean, last year in the last eight games, you know, Jalen Hurts only threw four touchdown passes in the red zone last eight games. And he was 31st in completion percentage in the red zone.
Yeah.
Now, that's not about throwing the ball far. Mm-hmm. And that's not about arm strength. That's about executing in the narrow windows that they give you in the NFL. That's where he has to get better. You know, he doesn't have to develop a Brett Favre arm or an Elway arm. He never will. He's just not built that way. But he can be a winning quarterback if he becomes efficient in the areas where he has to be efficient, which are in those, you know, 12 to 18 yard digs, those slants, that all that stuff they're got to run the offense, and especially from the 20 yard line on in. If he can get really efficient down there, and I think adding Brown to the offense is going to help them in that regard. then they'll be approaching that balanced offense that you need to win in the NFL. I really think that they have a chance to be pretty good this year. I really do.
Love it.
I'm excited about that.
I love that. Ray, real quickly, I want to segue into the Phillies. I told you before the season they were going to make the playoffs. You scoffed. Are you with me now? Come on, Ray.
Well,
Bandwagon's got room for you.
Yeah, I know. I think that they will probably be one of three teams fighting for the last playoff spot. You know, the way I look at it, there's probably, you know, you're going to, you know, you got the Mets and the Braves are going to go from the East. Dodgers and the Padres are going to go from the West. You're going to get one team out of the Central, probably Milwaukee. And then you got one spot left. And I think there's going to be three teams fighting for it. It's going to be the Phillies, the Cardinals, and the Giants. And the Giants, to me, look like they're going in the wrong direction.
Yep.
So, you know, I think they'll be there in September. If they can just hang in kind of where they are right now until Harper gets back, then I think they have a shot to get to the postseason.
Look at you today, all fun and smiles. So, Ray, I miss you, pal. I do. It was great to see you the other day for lunch.
I enjoyed it.
And, you know, I needed two guys. Here. I don't even want to say replace you because nobody replaces you, but I got Mike Sielski on Saturdays, Jody McDonald on Sundays, Ray.
Yeah, I know. I'm delighted for you because you and I talked about this. You know, we talked, I mean, you knew months before my announcement where I was going with this, and we talked a lot about what you wanted to do. And, you know, I knew the direction you wanted to go with the show, and we talked about guys. And, you know, we both said right away that I thought Mike was a perfect guy. I mean, Jody was a given because you had the great history with Jody, and you guys are great together. You really are. But of the other guys, you know, I just thought Mike was just a natural fit, and I have no doubt. I mean, I've done stuff with Mike. Mike and I have done some stuff together. He's been kind enough to come out to Tommy and me not once but twice to do the Q&A. And Mike's great. And, you know, Mike is great, and you two guys together, I think you've shown it just in the first 2 hours today. It's going to be a terrific partnership. So, you know, I'm like everybody else in the audience. I can't wait to tune in every Saturday.
Check's in the mail, Ray. Thank you.
There you go.
Ray, I got somebody who wants to say hi to you. It's a member of your cast coming out to Hershey, Frank Nardi. Hey, Frank.
What? Hey, Ray. How you doing?
Hello, Frank. Great to hear from you. Are you all excited about going to Hershey, man?
Oh, I can't wait. Like you were saying, I can't wait to bring it back to where it all began.
By the way, Frank plays young Tommy McDonald. So, Frank, I don't know if you heard the intro into this where we played Tommy getting excited. Not that you, I've heard you do it perfectly, but even a little more inspiration for you.
Those were some of the clips that I was able to listen to so I could sort of get into character and sort of learn that little twang that Tommy had in his voice.
I know it's going to be it's really going to be great, and you know, we had to find a new actor to play the young me because all the guys, they keep outgrowing it. And unfortunately, it's not like Bart Simpson where you draw the 8 year old and he stays 8 year old forever.
Yeah,
you know, these kids grow up, so we had to keep changing, and so we've got a new young Ray, but we're really looking forward to it. I know that I've talked to Tom Teddy and Matt Pfeiffer, and we can't wait to get going. August 18th, 19th, and 20th. It's going to be great.
Frank, I got to run. I appreciate you checking in. We'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Looking forward to see everybody in Hershey.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Frank. See you there.
So, Ray, for a guy in retirement, I just have to say, let's go through this, okay? You got the Hershey Theater coming up August 18th, 19th, 20th.
Right.
Tickets at thehersheytheater.com. Tomorrow, you're schlepping out to Lancaster, Ray?
Yes.
I'm sure your wife's delighted about that retirement Sunday. You got a book signing at the Barnes & Noble in Lancaster from 1 to 3 at the Red Rose Commons on Fruitville Pike.
Right.
All right. Well, you'll knock them dead there. And then coming up in September, actually, you and I have a thing together. I'm looking forward to this. I get to play James Lipton.
Yes, you do.
We're doing a Ray Dinger profile at the speaker series at the Uptown Performing Arts Center in Westchester, September 7th at 7 p.m. Tickets, Ray, I'm really looking forward. Just you and I on a stage is going to be a lot of fun. Tickets.
That's going to be a blast. Yeah. It's going to be great. I mean, because that's the Wednesday that the NFL regular season kicks off. So we'll have, interest will be at its height, and it'll be great to just be back together with you again.
It will be a delight.
There you go. I'll do all the James Lipton, like, what is your favorite word? tickets available at uptownwestchester.org. Hey, pal, it's always nice to talk to you.
Ray, thank you so much for calling in. Thanks for the good words, and I will I will do my best to hit the mark of excellence in the standard that you established.
Hey man, you're going to do just fine. I mean, you guys together, it's going to be great. It really is. I'm really looking forward to listening to you every week, and I hope you don't mind if I pop on now and again just to say hi.
No, that's not allowed.
I don't believe that's going to be a problem. All right, buddy. Be well. I'll talk to you this week, fellas.
See you. Take care, Ray.
There you go. Great guy.
No, that was wonderful, and I'm very appreciative of what he said.
There you go. You got the papal blessing right there.
Yeah, we can see the smoke out of 24th and Market right now.
Is it the white puff or the black? I forget which is the puff when they get the new puff.
I don't know. With Ray, it's got to be Kelly Green.
There you go. Nicely done. Mike in Maple Glen joins us. Hey, Mike.
Hi. How you doing? Best of luck in your new show.
Thanks.
It's an honor to follow Ray. It's the white smoke. Tells you I have a pope.
There you go. Thank you.
Phillies can get the 94 wins if they go 27-10. I know it's going to be tough, but yeah, against the Cubs, Pirates,
ambitious
group, and then just go 500, 14-13 against the rest of their schedule, so they have a chance. And this pitching staff is at a half a run less than they were last year. So without any addition, they've already lowered the runs they're giving up, even with a terrible defense.
So are you saying you don't see a need for a move? Is that what you're saying?
When I called in, I said, I want to talk about what happens if they can't do anything.
Okay.
So if they remain status quo, there's still a shot at winning.
You know, it's interesting, Mike, because as I said earlier in the show, as much as Dave Dombrowski has a penchant for the big move, and he has said, you know, I love superstars, I just wonder what the level of hesitation on his part will be in moving some of these prospects. Do I think they're going to make a move? Yes, I do. Do I think it's necessarily going to be on the scale that a lot of people might want? Maybe not you, but a lot of other Phillies fans. That I'm not sure about.
Yeah. And that's, you know, so I'm still going to be hopeful if they don't make a move.
Okay.
If they do make a move, I think that it only increases their chance of getting to 94.
I like your optimism. I don't know about 94. I think you get in the playoffs with about 87. Now, 94 gets you, well, they're not going to win the division. The Mets are there. The Braves are there. They're not going to do that. But I guess you get a higher seed in the playoffs. You get, right? The sixth seed gets no home games in the playoffs. Is that the way it works?
Can't possibly, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, a higher seed will help them. That would be good. By the way, the segment with Ray and the Tommy McDonald moment was our Scheib Sports This Week in Philadelphia Sports History, brought to you by Scheib Sports. Visit them at their Center City location or at scheibsports.com. And let me say that this hour is sponsored by Meridian Bank, business banking at its best. Visit them at meridianbanker.com. 215-592-9494. Your call is coming up with Mike Sielski. I'm Glenn Mack now on 94 WIP.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.